We start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is due to Him. We humbly ask Allah to raise the rank and increase the honor of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most humble, merciful, generous, courageous, and handsome human being ever to walk on the face of the earth, and also raise the rank of his kind relatives and illustrious companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for them. Welcome to another episode of Hukm al-Din, the program that allows you to ask your Islamic queries and receive an answer directly from a trustworthy, reliable source, justified with verses from the Holy Quran, sayings of the Prophet alayhi salat wasalam, known as hadith, and the sayings of top qualified and reliable Muslim scholars. So, brothers and sisters in Islam, do not hesitate to call us here at Tuum FM on 9707 2747. Ask a question and have your question answered live on air by the Sheikh, insha'Allahu ta'ala. And joining us once again on the program today to answer our questions is Sheikh Ibrahim al-Shafi'i. May Allahu ta'ala protect him. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh Ibrahim, it's that time of the year where people's hearts are longing to visit the blessed lands of Medina and Mecca. The time is approaching where one of the most important acts of worship is performed. It is the time of Hajj and Umrah. And today, inshallah ta'ala, before we accept any questions, we shall begin today with a brief introduction regarding this topic.
All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to perform Hajj means to go to the Kaaba at a particular time with the intention to perform the specific known actions which Allah ordered to be done in performing this worship. The scholars hold the consensus that performing Hajj is an obligation on the Muslim who is able, free, and accountable. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 196, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. This ayah means, perform Hajj and Umrah completely in obedience to Allah. Performing Hajj is among the matters of the religion known by the Muslim scholar and layman alike. Therefore, the one who denies its obligation blasphemes. However, the one who does not deny its obligation, but delays performing it until one dies, although one is able to do so, does not blaspheme. Rather, one commits an enormous sin. The scholars hold different opinions as to the obligation of performing Umrah. Imam Malik, may Allah raise his rank, judged the Umrah as Sunnah. Imam al-Shafi'i, however, said it is an obligation, as Hajj is an obligation. Allah gave al-Hajj a merit which prayer, zakah, and fasting do not have. This merit is that if one performs Hajj in a manner which is accepted to Allah, then that Hajj would erase all one's sins, both the small and the enormous ones. Al-Bukhari narrated the Sahih Hadith of the Prophet, مَنْ حَجَّ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ خَرَجَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ كَيَوْمَ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. It means, the one who performs Hajj and while Muhrim refrains from sexual intercourse or committing enormous sins, then one will be as clear of his sins just as he was clear of sins when his mother gave birth to him or her, for instance. Although performing the obligatory prayers is more rewardable, performing Hajj has this specific merit. Performing Hajj is one of the five most important matters of Islam. In the famous hadith known as the Hadith of Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams, شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان. It means the most important matters of Islam are five. Testifying that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Performing prayers, paying zakah, performing hajj and fasting Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate for us to perform hajj and umrah every year, inshallah, and visit the honored grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen.
Ameen. Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. Inshallah ta'ala, before we get some calls, inshallah ta'ala, on air, we have a series of questions that we have gathered. We have been asked throughout the week. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. We'll begin with the first question. Who is obligated to perform hajj?
Performing hajj and umrah once in a lifetime becomes obligatory upon the Muslim who, when he is free, not a slave, accountable, not a child, and can afford to reach Mecca and return to his home place. This includes, of course, that one has in excess of one's debts, appropriate lodging and clothing, and what one is obligated to spend on those whom one must support from one's departure until one's return.
When you say to be accountable, obviously means that the person needs to be pubescent and sane. And is hajj accepted from the child that has not yet reached puberty?
Although the non-pubescent child is not obligated to perform hajj, should he do so, it is valid, rewardable worship as well. Hajj performed by even a one-day-old child is valid through his guardian, who helps him perform the integrals and requisites of hajj. Hajj is valid from the child who attained to the age of tamiz, but is not yet pubescent, if he has the permission of his guardian wali, and he performs the required actions by himself. A lady came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had a baby in her hand, and she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ali hadha hajjun?" Meaning that would hajj be accepted from this little child? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Naam, walaki ajr." That means yes, and you'll be rewarded for this. But of course, we are not going to go into detail about how, like the guardian would have the intention on his behalf and what he has to do. But if he is less than the age of mental discrimination, which is called tamyiz, his guardian can have the intention on his behalf, and he takes him to the Kaaba, to Sa'i, to Arafah. He let him witness these places, and he'll be rewarded for that.
SubhanAllah. However, what about when he reaches puberty? Is it required of him to perform hajj?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear that if someone performs hajj while under puberty, after becoming pubescent, he has to perform hajj. So this one before puberty that he performed would not be enough for or sufficient for this person that he doesn't perform hajj after puberty. But it is rewardable for the person, so he's gaining rewards. If he reaches the age of mental discrimination, 7, let us say, if he gets permission from his guardian, he can go and perform hajj on his own.
MashaAllah.
Imagine like 8-year-old boy is going to perform the hajj by himself. But if he is with his guardian, let us say, and he can put the intention, he can do everything in this case as a pubescent person would do, because he is above the age of mental discrimination, so he is mumayyiz already.
Right.
He can do it on his own.
Right. What about the woman in Islam? Because there are a lot of women that go out there and want to and wish to perform hajj, but you know, we've heard that part of Islam for the woman to travel, there is something called mahram. And are there any extra conditions that apply to the woman in order for her to be obligated to perform hajj?
Yeah, for hajj to be an obligation on the woman, it is a condition that she can find someone to accompany her, like either a mahram, even one she must pay, for instance, if she can afford to do so, like her uncle. Let us say she wants to take her uncle as a mahram, and he is poor, for instance, and he would agree to go with her, but he doesn't have money. Now here, for instance, this lady has to be able, in order to be obligated to perform Hajj, because the mahram exists, but he needs money to go there. So if she has money to pay for him to go with her, then she would be obligated to. A husband, if the husband is ready to go with her, that means she has no excuse, or the like. If she doesn't have a mahram or a husband to go with her, then trustworthy woman, or one trustworthy adult woman, or a trustworthy female who is about to turn adolescent. If she cannot find any of these, she is permitted to go to Hajj alone. That means without husband and without mahram, without trustworthy woman. And that's according to Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. Because Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu said performing the first Hajj is an obligation. And for this, to perform this obligation, she is allowed to travel without a mahram for that purpose. That's according to Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. However, some other scholars said she waits until she finds a mahram or a husband or or trustworthy woman to go with her to perform Hajj. Although it is not an obligation on her to do so, for instance, if she couldn't find any mahram, as we mentioned, so in this case, she is not sinful for not going to perform Hajj. So if she can't find any of the mentioned, that we mentioned them, a husband, mahram, or trustworthy woman, now she can't go, and in this case, she's not sinful for not going to perform Hajj. However, there is something here to be mentioned that is important. She's not allowed to travel alone after the first time. So after she performs Hajj for the first time, she's not allowed to go to perform Hajj for the second and third time without mahram. She can't say, oh, I missed the Kaaba, I missed the Prophet's grave, so I need to go there because I'm longing for visiting these places, so even without a mahram I want to go. She's not allowed to. Because the first time is an obligation, because Hajj and Umrah is an obligation once in a lifetime. After the first time, it is Sunnah. So it's not an obligation. So this lady has to take into consideration that even if she goes to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she is not allowed to, okay, because she already performed Hajj and Umrah before.
Actually, touching on this topic, I heard, subhanAllah, and this righteous sheikh, he met with this woman that was longing to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to visit his grave, to go to Al-Madinah. He came, he went to visit her, he asked her, haven't you already performed the obligatory Hajj? She said to him, yes, I've gone about 11 times. Okay. He said to her, well, you're not allowed to go without a mahram, because she wanted to go on her own. And she said to him, "Bas ana mushtaqa, I'm longing to visit the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. I miss him. I want to visit his grave." And he said to her, "Ar-Rasulu la yarda bihada." The Prophet himself does not accept this.
That's right.
So if you're longing for him, obviously you want to, and you do something.
If she thinks she's pleasing the Prophet by this act, no, the Prophet won't be happy of her action in this case.
No. Anyway, so what about in regards to the person who is unable to perform Hajj, like due to old age or severe sickness? Is there anything required of him to do, or is he simply excused from the entire obligation of Hajj altogether?
Now, if the person who is not physically able because of old age or extreme sickness, this person, if he wants to leave the house and go to Hajj, he is unable. This person can find someone to perform Hajj on his behalf. like some people might be paralyzed, so they can't go, and it's a far distance from their home country and Mecca, so they won't be able to go there. Also, some people like kidney problems, they need to clean their kidneys every day. You know, they need to go to the hospital, and they're gonna be on dialysis for like 4 hours every day. Some of them. So this person can't go and perform Hajj while in that type of sickness. He can hire someone, ask someone to go on his behalf and perform Hajj on his behalf. If he cannot find except one who asks to be paid for doing so, and he can afford it, he pays that one to perform Hajj on his behalf, even for pay money. It is a condition that a person performing Hajj on his behalf of another must have already performed the obligatory Hajj for himself. So not the first time he's going. No, they find a person who performed Hajj from before already, and they can ask him to go this time on behalf of this person.
Right. Sheikh, we know that in the Hajj there are integrals, there are requisites, there are prohibitions, yani, while in the state of Hajj. And inshallah ta'ala, if you can briefly mention to us the integrals of Hajj.
Now, let us say the integrals in Arabic, al-arkan. And al-wajibat of al-Hajj, the requisites. And there are the prohibitions, of course. And there are rewardable acts of al-Hajj. When we say integrals, we need to explain that these integrals, if one of them is missed, the whole Hajj is rendered invalid. That's why a person has to take care of these six integrals. Now, there are requisites that if left without an excuse, one commits a sin. But his Hajj is still valid, and he will be asked to reimburse that missing wajib by slaughtering an edible animal, and we'll talk about it in detail inshallah.
Yes.
But the integrals, if one of them is missed, one cannot reimburse it by slaughtering an animal, for instance. He won't be able to. That's it. If he misses any of them, his whole Hajj is invalid. That's why a person has to take care of these six integrals the most. Number one is intention, and the intention to be valid for Hajj, it has to be made during the months of Hajj. And the months of Al-Hajj are Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Second integral is to be physically present at Arafah for some time between the start of Dhuhr on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah and the dawn of the following day, which is the day of Eid. Also At-Tawaf, that's the third integral, and is performed after the middle of the eve of the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. And As-Sa'i, that's to, after performing Tawaf, shaving the head or trimming the hair, and after the middle of the eve of the 10th as well, so the night of Al-Eid. And the last thing is to observe the order in performing most of these five integrals.
We have a question coming in, inshallah. We'll see who is online.
No worries. Just want to ask about الطيور. في طيور منهم حرام نحن ناكلهم مثل من قرو يعني مخوف وهيك. بالنسبة للخنزير كمان إنه ما فينا ناكل لحم تبعه. بس في صور صغير ما بعرف إذا هذي بعاداتنا أو شيء. بالنسبة للو إنه الكلب كلب نس ما لازم تقرب صوب الكلب ولا إنه تدعرو أو إذا لحسك أو شيء. انه بدي اعرف انه هذا مضبوط ولا لا، انه هو عن جد نجس وشايب بالقران يعني. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام. Now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا ولغ الكلب في إناء أحدكم فليغسله سبع مرات إحداهن بالتراب. This hadith indicates that the dog is not considered as a pure entity. In fact, the dog is a najas, filth entity. And if you touch the dog while your hand is dry and the body of the dog is dry, and you touch the body of the dog, the najasa, the najas, filth substance, does not transport in this case into your hand.
Mm.
Because your hand is dry and the body of the dog is dry. But when your hand is wet or the dog is wet and you touch his body, the najasa will transport into your hands. Oh. And in that case, yeah, to purify this area that was contaminated with the najas filth substance, you have to wash it 7 times. One of these 7 times is mixed with soil. So you bring soil, you put it in the water, and you pour them on your hand, and 6 also times after that you wash them with water, then your hand becomes clean.
Hmm.
Now, this is according to Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. However, some scholars said that the saliva of the dog is najas, filth, and so if he licks you, for instance, then that contaminated area has to be washed 7 times, one of them with soil, pure soil. But the rest of the body of the dog, like for instance his back, for instance, is not a najis entity. That's what some scholars said. But anyway, we need to mention something that is important. For one to keep a dog in his house Islamically, and he has no reason, so it's not for guarding, it's not like the cattle dog, and it's not for hunting, and just these, like these little puppies,
like a pet.
Yeah, that they say as a pet, they put it inside the house. Now, when there is a dog inside the house, angels won't go inside this house. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that al-malaika do not enter a house that has a dog or a 3D a statue in it. And the 3D here, we mean by the 3D shape of something that is that has a soul in real life, like a human being or an animal.
Right.
So if someone has a 3D shape of an animal, for instance, and he keeps it inside his house, angels won't go inside that house.
It's called a timthal in Arabic, we call it?
Yeah.
Timthal. Right, okay. So what about the pig? He was asking about the pig as well.
Pig, there is no way for it to be kept in any way. And the pig is worse than dog. So his case is worse, as the scholar said. And it's all of it is najas. All of it is najas. So whether you touch its back while your hand is wet, for instance, or you touch its head, or it licks you, it's all najas. Now, I gave what the scholar said about the dog in regards of the saliva and the body. Some scholars said the saliva and the whole body is considered as a najas filth entity. However, some other scholars said only the saliva is najas and not the rest of the body.
Right, inshallah. Okay, inshallah, we'll continue with the questions regarding the topic of Hajj and Umrah. Inshallah, Sheikh, previously you were talking about the integrals of Hajj. You were mentioning them out briefly. Why did you mention in the last integral, which is to observe the order, why did you specify to observe the order in most of these 5 integrals?
Because in wudu, you must have the order in all the integrals of wudu. So you have to start with the intention, washing your face, washing your hands, including the elbows, wet wiping your head, and washing your feet, including your ankles. You have to observe this order, because as mentioned in the Quran, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. So you can't mix between these integrals in a way that you make one before another. You have to follow the order. Now in Hajj, when we mentioned that you need to observe the order in most of these integrals, we didn't say in all of these integrals, because some of these integrals, one can be done before another. Give you one example, for instance, to make tawaf, the obligatory tawaf. You can make the obligatory tawaf after the midnight and of the eve night of Eid, so the night preceding the day of Eid, after midnight. After midnight, you can perform tawaf al-ifada, which is the obligatory tawaf. Also for shaving and trimming, its time starts after the middle of the eve of the 10th of the Hijjah, which is the night of Al-Eid, preceding the day of Eid. So this can be done before that one, and that one can be done before that one.
Right.
So you can do either tawaf first, then you shave. You can make shaving, then you can make tawaf, no problem. As-sa'i must be performed after tawaf, and whether it is the welcome tawaf, when you go straight to Mecca, and whether also it is the obligatory tawaf. So it doesn't matter. So for instance, let us say you had the intention and you went to Mecca, for instance, to make the tawaf al-qudum, the welcome tawaf. Yes. You made the welcome tawaf. You are allowed now to make a sa'i, the obligatory sa'i,
right,
between al-safa and al-marwa. So that means you make sa'i now, then after that you go to Arafah. Then on the night preceding the day of Eid, you come back to Mecca to make tawaf and shave and trim.
Right, the obligatory tawaf there.
So you already made tawaf al-qudum, and you performed a sa'i, which is an obligation, an integral of Hajj. You already performed it. Here you make tawaf only without making sa'i after,
right,
because you already performed sa'i. So these things, like in the way that I mentioned, one can be performed before another, but not all of them. For instance, the intention must be at the beginning.
Right, okay.
You can't defer the intention.
Okay,
you cannot defer the intention.
No. And obviously the day of Arafat, you know, that has to be done on a specific day.
Definitely.
And what about in regards to the requisites, the wajibs of Hajj? How does a requisite differ from an integral?
We mentioned that al-wajib is what is an obligation, that is a requisite to be done amongst the acts of al-Hajj, but it is not considered as an integral. That means if this wajib is left, one's Hajj remains valid, but one is obligated to substitute this wajib with an expiation, which is to slaughter an edible animal, and we're going to talk about this in detail, inshallah ta'ala. Slaughter an edible animal, like a sheep, for instance, for leaving that wajib. We'll give you an example. For instance, establishing the intention of ihram before crossing the miqat, this is amongst the wajib. That means if you are in Medina and you're heading to Mecca, after you leave Medina by about 15 kilometers, you reach a place where they call it Abar Ali. And there is a big mosque. I think you've been there and you've seen this mosque. Yeah. It's a very huge mosque. Do you know what people, like, you've seen them, what do they do? That they would have the purificated baths,
yeah,
and they take off the clothes, the normal clothes, and they wear the clothes of ihram.
That's
they
right.
pray two rak'ahs of ihram, then they put the intention to perform Hajj, then they continue the way to Mecca. They are not allowed to go beyond this point towards Mecca from that direction without having the intention of performing Hajj or Umrah. They're not allowed to. So if they're going to perform Hajj or Umrah and they cross this point, they go beyond it towards Mecca without having the intention of performing Hajj or Umrah, this is haram. Let us say after they reached Mecca, someone asked this person, did you intend Hajj or Umrah? He said, no, I haven't intended yet. Then he can't go back to the miqat, to that place, to put the intention to perform Hajj or Umrah. Because he can't come back to the miqat, to that place, then in this case, he must slaughter an edible animal.
Right.
And so to pay the what is a substitute, to do what is a substitute for leaving out this requisite.
Right.
That's the difference. Also, to stay in at night in Muzdalifah and Mina, also to throw the pebbles at Jamrat al-Aqaba during the Eid day, and to throw the pebbles at the three Jamras also in the days of At-Tashriq. In the days of At-Tashriq, and to perform the farewell tawaf as well.
And you mentioned that there was an expiation that one needs to do if any of the requisites are left out. What is this expiation?
The expiation due for not performing any of any one of these requisites is to slaughter a sheep and distribute its meat to the poor people in Mecca, not to export them to other countries. The meat must be distributed to those poor people living in Mecca, or if unable, to fast 10 days, 3 while in Hajj and 7 after returning to one's hometown.
Okay, brothers and sisters, just a reminder, if you have any religious queries, please call Darul Fatwa Australia on 9793-3330. That's 9793-3330 throughout the week, Monday to Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Or you could just call us during the Hukmuddin program on 9707-2747 and ask your question live on air. Or alternatively, you may send your question via email to the address Fatwa, that's F-A-T-W-A, at darulfatwa.org.au. That's all we have for you today on our program, inshallah, of Hukmuddin. We truly hope you benefited greatly. We humbly ask Allah Ta'ala to make us among those who implement what they learn and grant us the ability to perform Hajj and Umrah with complete sincerity. Ameen. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.